This is a Kim Munson Liberty and Economy briefing. A Kansas advocate warns the Heartland's energy build-out is a land grab. Virginia Macha of Stand for the Land Kansas says industrial solar, wind, and high-voltage transmission projects backed by federal tax credits and eminent domain are shifting control of farmland and costs onto landowners and ratepayers as the Kansas Corporation Commission carves up a 345-kilovolt line. Wichita, Kansas. In Kansas, a farmer can hold the deed to the family ground and still lose control of how it is used. Industrial solar and wind projects and the high-voltage lines built to carry their power are advancing through county zoning boards and state regulators with little public notice. The landowners in their path are finding that owning land and controlling it have become two different things. Virginia Macha, founder of Stand for the Land Kansas, has spent the last several years tracking that build-out county by county. On the Kim Munson Show, she described an organized push to convert working agricultural ground into industrial energy infrastructure, financed by federal tax credits and carried across private property by the power of eminent domain. We'll have millions of acres of Kansas farm ground gone, and we will not be able to recoup that land once that industrial solar is up and running, Macha said. The group's homepage frames the stakes directly. Together, we can protect landowner rights and quality of life in Kansas. The most concrete recent test came on a single power line. Macha said her coalition across the three states stood against the Buffalo Flats transmission line, and the regulators answered in part. On May 12, the Kansas Corporation Commission voted to approve only a portion of Avergy's proposed 133-mile, 343-mile, 345-kilovolt line, which would run from the Buffalo Flats substation near Garden Plain to the Delaware substation in Oklahoma. The commission granted a siting permit for the route west of U.S. Highway 77, but denied the segment east of the highway into the Flint Hills and ordered Avergy to study a new path. The Kansas Reflector reported. The order is part of a larger plan. The line is one project in an integrated transmission portfolio managed by Southwest Power Pool, SPP, the regional grid operator for a 14-state footprint, and it is expected to be in service by 2029. Even in approving only part of the route, the commission acknowledged what was at stake for the people who live along it. Generally, among the issues presented is the important matter of protection of the property rights of landowners and others who have pre-existing rights to access and use the land, Commissioner Dwight Keene wrote. With the siting order, Avergy gains the power of eminent domain over the approved stretch. That power is the crux of Macha's argument. A landowner can put solar panels on ground they own, she noted, but the electricity has to reach the grid. And transmission is unique because it has the right to eminent domain when they site the land, Macha said. The siting itself is run through proprietary modeling that landowners cannot audit, and she contends the chosen routes serve the developer rather than the least disruptive path. In one Kansas case her group examined, she said, there were 10 alternative routes that would have disturbed fewer people than the one selected. Even short of eminent domain, control can change hands at the signing of a lease. As Kim Munson put it, once a farmer signs, you do not control your land because of these easements, even if the deed still carries the family name. The applicants, Macha added, are almost always opaque shell entities. Every one of these solar companies that are making applications are an LLC. She pointed to a solar project she has been tracking in Sedgwick County near Wichita as an example of the structures her group follows through the Register of Deeds, lease by lease. The pressure shows up at the edges of cities through annexation. Macha described families left as islands when a city annexes farmland around them and patches for a solar or wind permit, leaving your 80 acres and your brand new home stuck in between giant solar fields to the tune of 1,500 acres. Kansas law bars annexing non-contiguous land to issue such a permit, she said, yet developers and their lawyers keep finding ways around it. You can't annex non-contiguous land in order for a city to issue a permit. The economics, Macha argues, are built to reward more lines, not cheaper power. High voltage transmission in the SPP region is paid for through a cost allocation formula known as the highway-byway method, codified in SPP's open access tariff and approved by FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Under that method, the cost of the largest lines, 300 kilovolts and above, is spread across the entire region on a uniform postage stamp rate, while smaller lines are split between the local zone and the region, according to an analysis of the FERC-approved tariff. The transmission owner, often a for-profit company, earns a federally regulated return on every mile it builds. So the transmission owner seems to be the lucrative player in this whole entire scheme, Macha said. That structure rewards scale. SPP's board approved $8.6 billion in new transmission in November, anchored by a 765-kilovolt backbone. The operator says will carry far more power than existing lines, as it forecasts regional electricity demand doubling over the next decade, driven in part by data centers. Macha said six data centers are now proposed in Kansas. The consumer, she argues, pays at both ends, in the rates that fund the construction and, again, in the delivery charges that move the power. She said her own electric bills have risen by nearly half over the last 3 years. The federal money behind the build-out has its own record. Macha invoked a wind company that killed eagles and paid millions of dollars, and the case she was reaching for is documented in federal court. In April 2022, ESI Energy, a subsidiary of NextEra Energy, pleaded guilty to three counts under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act and was sentenced in Cheyenne, Wyoming to a $1.86 million fine plus more than $6.2 million in restitution, with an eagle protection plan that could cost upward of $27 million. The company acknowledged at least 150 eagles, most of them golden eagles, had died at its wind facilities. Prosecutors noted that ESI and its affiliates collected hundreds of millions of dollars in federal renewable energy tax credits while operating turbines they knew would kill eagles without the required permits. For more than a decade, ESI has violated those laws, taking eagles without obtaining or even seeking the necessary permit, said Assistant Attorney General Todd Kim. The same Golden Eagle corridors and decommissioning worries are driving a parallel fight one state north, where ranchers are pressing Wyoming to weigh the cumulative footprint of its proposed wind wall. For now, the Kansas buildout grinds forward in pieces. Avergy has been sent back to redraw part of its line, more solar and wind applications are moving through county offices, and the SPP backbone is on the drawing board. Macha's case is that the permit process is designed to be read one project at a time, while the people who work the land are left to add up the whole. The deed, she warns, will not be enough. And now, Kim's perspective. Property rights are supposed to mean something, and what Virginia Macha is documenting in Kansas is how quietly they can be hollowed out. The government subsidizes the solar and wind, then hands transmission companies the power of eminent domain to run the lines where they'll choose, and a farmer who still holds the deed ends up with no real say over land the family has worked for generations. That same household pays for it twice, first in the taxes that fund the build, and again in the monthly electric bill. Macha does the work almost no one sees, driving to the register of deeds and reading the filings one by one, because the permitting process is built so that nobody ever has to weigh the whole picture at once. That is what self-governance asks of people who refuse to be steamrolled. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson Liberty and Economy Briefing.